on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Live from our nation's capital, this is Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast with Gloria Purvis, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and Monsignor Charles Pope.
And good morning. It is the 21st of October, the year of our Lord 2019, and it's also the Feast of St. Ursula. So let's pray in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we gather in a time where there's unsettlement in the faith and so on. St. Ursula also had to flee for her life from pagan invaders who were seeking to particularly target Christians and kill them, and she was indeed martyred. But Lord, we ask that that you would in every way protect us, protect religious liberty of people throughout the world, so that we can freely believe in you and announce your truth, as the Pope said yesterday in the Mass. So we ask all these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. He has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. That's from Luke chapter 1, 69-70, 71-75.
Yeah, that sounds a little bit like the Magnificat.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what, if you go to Mass today, that's what they'll be saying during what would normally be a psalm. They'll be reading from Luke.
All right. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, wonderful reflection there. It said the dawn from on high. That was
Oh, that's the Benedictus.
That's the Benedictus, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the Benedictus.
Right. This is what they say usually at evening prayer.
Yeah.
No, this is this is the one for a morning prayer, actually. This is the one where Zechariah can't speak, and then at the baptism, mm-hmm. they said, what is his name? They said, his name is John. That's not, not a family name. So he writes down, his name is John, his mouth is opened, and then he proclaims this beautiful prayer of the forecoming of the Messiah through his son.
Amen.
Well, we are going to have a great show today on Morning Glory. A lot of wonderful things we'll be discussing. Some things might get a little people scared, because we'll be talking about, Slewfoot. And how we'd be talking about it, Monsignor.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about why and how Satan roams this earth. Why would God permit that? And what are the limits of that? So, and we'll talk about that.
And we'll be talking about the bad influence in entertainment today. Believe it or not, some of this is very much organized by Planned Parenthood. And we'll get into that in a little bit. And the question is, what are we pro-lifers going to do about it?
And we'll also talk about, is your child having trouble finding a Catholic spouse? There's the church in India, in Kerala particularly, this is a concern. Many young men are not finding spouses. And actually, there's an article because the church is concerned about this. We'll talk about that, because I know many families are struggling with this as well.
And of course, we'd love you to join the conversation. You can email us by emailing us morningglory@ewtn.com. Give us your first name, how you're listening, and your comment. What did you guys do over the weekend?
Well, for me, it was a pretty typical weekend, although we did pray before the abortion clinic, Planned Parenthood Center there. And it was, that's always hard for me. But we do it once a month.
Mm-hmm. Deacon, how about you?
Yeah, I was at the Connecticut Catholic Men's Conference held in Bristol, Connecticut. And man, there were tons of Morning Glory listeners there. It seemed like at every person, almost every person I met, listens to the EWTN Catholic Radio and listens particularly to Morning Glory. So many people said how much they love the show, and as they're driving to work, it's such a part of their day to kick it off. And I thought, wow, this is. I mean, it was wonderful. I mean, that many people in one place like that was fantastic.
Yeah,
and so that actually, and they'll actually get a chance to see us this week, huh?
Yeah, we'll be in Birmingham, right, for the radio conference.
Yes, for the radio.
Yeah,
conference.
The Morning Glory team visits EWTN live with Father Mitch Packwood.
Oh yes,
this Wednesday night, 8 a.m. Eastern on EWTN television. You'll actually get to see us and hear us on Father Mitch's on EWTN Live with Father Mitch this Wednesday.
Yeah.
What time did you say? I heard 8 a.m. I think it's 8 p.m., right?
Yeah, Wednesday night. Yeah, 8 Eastern.
Yeah.
8 p.m. Yeah. 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. They hear us in the morning. You can now hear us at night and be amazed at our stamina. How can we stay up early so late? What were you going to say, my senior?
Oh, not just that I have a face for radio and I have a regret that I have to be on TV, but they'll sort of blot my face out. Or okay?
Come on.
Oh, stop. Stop now. Come on. Look, well, what's been in the news? There's a lot of stuff going on in the news. What have been some of the main stories that you guys want to talk about in the
Well,
news?
You know, it's interesting. In Hong Kong, the government ruled there against the recognition of same-sex partnerships. Upholding the government's policy of not recognizing so-called same-sex marriage. Of course, we know it's not marriage at all, or civil unions. The judge in that case ruled that, you know, quote-unquote updating the definition of marriage, as Monsignor's always points out so beautifully, they're undefining marriage, not redefining it. They said if you were to change the definition of marriage to include same-sex unions, it would lead to what they call, quote, far-reaching consequences, end quote, that the court was not prepared to accept. And we see the results of this over and over again in our own country. You know, so even though these atheists, communists, you know, are very, don't know what religious freedom is, they definitely know what marriage is.
You know, well, I have to say, I wonder if we are now become like a warning for everybody else. They see what's happening in the United States, and they're like, we don't want none of that, you know?
Could be, I wish.
I mean, come on. If you look at... Well, I do wonder. I mean, I have to say, I wonder, because it just seems like they see all the uproar here, and they see all the challenges that we're having now that, you know, they've... undefined, as you call it, Monsignor, marriage, the problems that we're having with balancing other parts of society, because these groups say that things that are have been that if you don't affirm it, you're bigoted, and that creates problems. But maybe I'm just overanalyzing it and thinking that we have become like a warning to everybody else. But you know,
well, that's it. Yeah, I tell you, it's I don't know. Yeah, like I say, every now and again, other people get this right in a way that they haven't fallen into quite the darkness that a lot of us have. And let's also be clear, I think, that basically one unelected official determined this. His name was Anthony Kennedy. The court was divided 4-4, and he flipped toward this thing, and it wasn't a broad consensus. And this is the thing I find most frustrating about that whole decision, as well as the decision on abortion, that these were not legislative things where a broad consensus of the American people was able to be, you know, coalesced through their representatives and do this. This was just an exercise of raw judicial power. And it's very frustrating to me personally that we now suddenly think that this is all Americans, you know, this is how America thinks, and it isn't. And a lot of people are maybe fearful of saying they're against it, but this is where we are. That there's a lot of judicial activism and stuff, and it's very, very sad. So I also want to say, speaking of sad, there's also this issue in the Vatican, you know, of the all the other problems going on there. We've also got this financial scandal, and it's been going. Look, this is not related to just this pontific. This goes way back, y'all, and it's always been very murky, the Vatican finances, and there's always been terrible rumors of you know, laundering of money, even for the mafia. And even the Italian government is disgusted, you know, with the Vatican Bank. So anyway, the confidential report from the Vatican's anti-corruption authority shows indeed that the Secretary of State misused hundreds of millions of dollars, much of it from the Pope's charity fund. You know, the Vatican documents allege serious financial crimes and corruption within the Secretary of State, you know, developing properties and all kinds of crazy stuff that has nothing to do with caring for the poor. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. You know, it's going to get uglier and worse as revelations go on with this. And Cardinal Pell was kind of going to break this a few years ago. And let's just say, in a strange twist of fate, he got waylaid. I'm not going to get into that whole topic, but just to say it's suspicious. And all that's a way of saying that this is This is very serious stuff. And as the sexual abuse scandal is serious, and this is also very serious. It's a terrible misuse of the people contribute money from all over the world, and this is the kind of stuff that goes on. And again, it's tragic and sad, and that's really all I can say at this point. It's just the beginning of really some revelations that are going to come.
Yeah,
I think it's pretty bad, and I'm like, how do you spend? How do you accidentally misspend $100 million? I don't think it's an accident, but you know, just very sickening things. You know, everybody's been hearing in the news lately about Chick-fil-A going over to the UK and opening, and now it's being reported that their store is going to close, even though it just opened October 10th, that it'll close in 6 months. Well, I've been reading in some reporting from Chick-fil-A that while the LGBT groups are boycotting them or calling for a boycott every single day that they're open for the next 6 months, Chick-fil-A has said they had only ever negotiated a six-month lease and did not intend to have a longer lease than beyond the 6 months. And so while LGBTQ groups are claiming victory that the lease won't be extended, Chick-fil-A is saying they only wanted a six-month lease because it's a test location to see how their product is received in the UK. So I don't count it as a victory for LGBTQ groups that Chick-fil-A is closing in 6 months at that location when that was their plan all along. And I know some of the reporting has made it seem like these LGBTQ groups have had a victory because they're not having their lease extended. But from what I've read Chick-fil-A say, is like, well, we only wanted a six-month lease in that location for our research and test pilot purposes. So is it a win for LGBTQ? I don't think so. Not if they already plan to only be there 6 months. Maybe you guys think differently on that.
No, I just maybe there. I would like to know if it isn't what? That. What other reasons the LGBT? I mean, whatever reasons the Chick-fil-A, other reasons that they decided not to continue. So I'm just curious, you know, what were the reasons that
was their whole.
Yeah, but anyway, they said in the beginning
they only negotiated a 6 month. Well, they said they only negotiated a 6 month lease because they wanted just to. That was the length of the test that they planned to do in that part of the UK. That was it. And so it wasn't until after it was announced that they were opening a store, so the lease was already negotiated at that point for 6 months, that the LGBT groups then said, hey, we're going to boycott. And we know you're there 6 months, but we still plan to boycott every single day that you're there. So from the outset, they had only negotiated 6 months, and it was after that it was announced that they were opening that. So in other words, the lease was already negotiated. It was after that point that the LGBT groups started publicly protesting. So the store opened October 10th. They don't have that much longer, so we'll see what happens. What's coming up next on Morning Glory?
Well, we'll talk about why and how Satan roams the earth. Why would God permit that?
Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast. It's quarter after. We're on YouTube. The EWTN YouTube channel, Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast.
And we are from coast to coast and around the world on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm your co-host of Morning Glory, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and I'm joined by my colleague and good friend, amazing woman of faith, Gloria Purvis. And one of my favorite priests in the whole world, Monsignor Charles Pope, blogger, author, a parish priest, a man after God's own heart. So, Monsignor, you know, we're kicking off this new week on Monday, and we're going to talk about why and how does Satan roam the earth? Because we know in Revelation chapter 12, he was cast out of heaven, and it says in Revelation he came to earth. And is he still here?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Scripture has sort of enshrines two different traditions, I might say, about this. Some of the texts in the Scripture do speak of Satan and the fallen angels as being cast into hell. So, for example, like 2 Peter says, God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them in chains and being held for judgment. Another example might be in the letter to Jude. It says, "And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, they abandoned their proper dwelling. He is now kept; he keeps in darkness, bound with everlasting chains," and so on. So we see that, but there's also other texts that seem to speak of some demons anyway that roam the earth. So, for example, in Revelation, the dragon was not strong enough, namely Satan, and no longer was there any place found in heaven for him and his angels. And that he was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil and Satan, he was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him, so hurled to the earth. And you might remember in Job that Satan appears before God one day, and Satan says, "Where do you come from?" And Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming and patrolling the earth and going forth back and forth on it." You know, so we have these sort of two traditions, and I think the only way to blend them would be to say, well, it would seem, though, that some demons are, although consigned to hell, are permitted some ability to roam the earth. And that finally, at the end, you know, Michael will cast them finally and permanently into hell and seal it off forever from the just. But for now, there's a little bit of interaction. We do know, certainly, that demons are active in the world, and they tempt us, and Satan is the prince of this world, Jesus calls him. So he has not just in some ability, he seems to have quite a bit of leadership ability in this world. So that's kind of the double tradition. But I think really at the heart of it, a lot of Christians and Catholics might, well, why does God permit him anything? You know, what's going on here? And why doesn't God just, you know, remove him any influence? And I would only say that there's a mystery here, but to some degree, we have to accept that the fact that he allows them to roam the earth is part of the test he has for us. And especially since we left paradise and insisted on living in paradise lost, which we did in original sin, that that God's going to permit some trials and tests in our life. And in a certain sense, he has to, because if the only possible answer is always yes, you're not really free. You know? So God is going to permit us freedom to say no to him. And also he permits us to live in a world where there are real options. And some of these options are presented to us by demons. And this is part of our test. And then the final thing I'll just say by way of introduction, I'm going to get your reactions, is that to some degree, again, philosophically, there has to be a principle of evil for there to really be a principle of good and have it make sense. Like, if I say to you, you can have any color car you want so long as it's black, you know, I announce your freedom, then I take it away. So God has to permit, as I say, a principle to be active and present. And it's part of, but it's part of what makes our yes glorious, that in the midst of a world filled with temptations, but also, you know, pleasures and things that are proposed to us that seem actually pleasurable, even though they're sinful, we're influenced by demons and other human beings, that our yes becomes even more precious to God. And we endure a kind of a martyrdom, if you will, by saying yes to him. So anyway, I'll just sort of set that as a table and see what you all think and maybe do some other clarifying.
Well, you brought so many good points there, but one thing that people often say,
you know,
are things like, the devil made me do it. Well, can the devil really make us do anything? I mean, we do have freedom, as you so beautifully explained. Mm-hmm. So when people say the devil made me do it, is that just an excuse? Because you have to actually cooperate, right, with evil.
Yeah, that's right. And it's, again, it amounts, as I say, to a kind of a test. Yeah, and we do tend to unfortunately cooperate or connive with the devil. My gosh. So, yeah. And I also have to say, I think, you know.
But, you know, I do, when Monsignor, you talk about it being kind of a test.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're having some kind
of. Well, I was going to say, with it being kind of a test, I think that, let me just say this, if you can hear me. With it being a test, I think when you fail, to me, it's a call for humility and a reason for us to ask more and more for God's grace, because we see our own weakness. Mm-hmm. And when you succeed, it's a time to thank God for his grace and, mm-hmm. and strength. I don't, you know, this is just our life's work to grow in holiness. You have to be tested.
Yes. Yeah, and I think too, that's just a good point, Gloria, because you have a, you know, the God permits tests and trials for us, not just simply as a test or a trial, but also through it we grow. And we begin to grow in strength, and it's by, you know, through the oppositions and the difficulties of life that sometimes we grow strong. You see, it isn't, if everything's just pleasant all the time, we tend to get lazy, and so this helps us to grow, you know, morally and spiritually. And so, in a certain sense, even though it's terrible what they do, God permits them and draws good from what they do in our life. And this is, again, part of the mystery of God's providence. And it may drive some people crazy, you know, but on the other hand, I think most parents would be willing to say, look, they have to at some point usher their children out into a world full of temptations and trials and tests. And so they try to prepare their kids as best they can, but they would not want to just keep their kid locked in a room and protected, because that's not where life is found. You have to get out and mix it up with the good and the evil and all the struggles and the beauty as well in this world. And that's part of where we live, and it's part of what makes us who we are. And if we overcome these trials, we become stronger and more holy.
So. Yeah, and we'd love to hear from you. Send us a text message, text letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. It takes your first name, how you're listening, and your comment. And remember, mobile and data charges may apply. Does it alarm you that God allows Satan to roam the earth? You know, Monsignor, it's frustrating because even within the church, you're hearing things now like the devil is not real and just a literary construct, and you know, and but no, so the devil is not really someone we should fear. And I think a lot of this comes from these movies that just kind of glorify the evil. But how would you recommend parents approach this subject with their children? You know, without scaring them, but letting know, you know, God is, you know, all powerful, but yet there's this evil here. Have any suggestions as a pastoral approach? What would you suggest?
They should treat it the way they do any other danger in the world. They should say, look, this is not something to be scared about. Satan's power is limited. He's not omnipotent. He's not able to do just anything he wants. But we should be careful and sober about that. He's out there, and so we should be protecting ourselves through prayer and staying close to our guardian angel and so on. And I think that's the best way. It's like, there is a danger. Don't be terrified, but just be aware of it. And if you're aware of it and you keep your distance, you won't get hurt. And I think John Vianney put it best. He says, Satan is like a vicious dog, but on a chain. He only bites you if you get too close.
That's good.
Yeah, he can bark and make life miserable that way, but he can't bite you unless you get too close. So that's the idea. The other thing is that there's a lot of you know, difficulties that, you know, we people have, and they think that Satan's just having a good old time tempting us. I want you to know, as someone who's participated in an exorcism, that Satan is not a happy fellow. He suffers a lot. He suffers miserably. He's angry. He's lonely. He's discouraged. And all the demons and sacraments and the use of sacraments trouble and harm him greatly. He's not just having a good old time doing this stuff. And he's a miserable fellow. And to anyone who says he doesn't exist, I've had to look him in the eye.
We still have free will.
Yeah.
And he can't control us. We still have free will. I mean, that's he can only propose. He can't impose. He can't command us to.
Yeah.
And we still have our free will, and we still have our power to make good or bad choices.
Exactly.
And so I think that's important for people to remember. I know that's one of the things that we talked with our daughter about when we talked about evil, and we talked about Satan, that he has no power over you unless you give it to him freely.
Yeah.
And to help her understand that he can't make her do anything. She can always make a choice. And so she seemed to get that. And so it doesn't affect her mind so much, I guess, because she still understands that she has freedom to choose good. So that seems to be something that really, I think, keeps her unafraid, so to speak. Like, she's not going around saying, the devil's around the corner. She has her other fears, you know, fear of the dark, but that's just, you know, childhood things. But, you know, she still has her freedom and her power.
Yeah.
Well, let's see, we have a lot more coming up on Morning Glory. We'll be talking about, you know, bad influences in television and movies, and it's not by accident. What else will we be discussing?
We're also going to be talking about, is your child having trouble finding a Catholic spouse? They're having issues with this in India, and even got the church concerned. And we'll talk about maybe your child also is having trouble finding a Catholic spouse. And we'd love to hear from you. Email us, morningglory@ewtn.com. Send us your first name and how you're listening. And we thank you for joining us around the table of faith, the breakfast table of faith on Morning Glory.
This is Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast. On the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Live from our nation's capital, this is Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast with Gloria Purvis, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and Monsignor Charles Pope.
And let's pray again as we begin this second half hour. I'm mindful, Lord, of the people in Dallas who apparently had a lot of tornadoes, and this world is paradise lost. We experience sometimes the upheavals of nature, Lord. But help us to realize that somehow you can draw good even from these struggles, as we were talking before. And please help our brothers and sisters to find the help they need, and help us to be part of that solution through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. I have called to you, Lord. Hasten to help me. Hear my voice when I cry to you. Let my prayer be accepted as incense before you, the raising of my hands like an evening oblation.
Oh, beautiful, like an evening oblation. Explain what the word oblation means.
It's offering, like an evening offering. Mm-hmm. In fact, that's why Benedictines, call their, quote unquote, third order, you could be a third order Dominican, a third order Carmelite.
Mm-hmm.
Benedictines call theirs oblates, because they're making an offering of their lives, to live according to the rule of St. Benedict in the world. And that's what our lives are, the raising of our hands, the raising of our lives, our hearts, our minds, our souls, everything pointed and directed toward our ultimate end. And this also reminds me of that beautiful passage in Revelation where the angel is, the smoke is billowing, and the smoke represents the prayers of the people rising before God.
Amen. Beautiful to remember. What else will we be talking about in a little bit on Morning Glory?
Well, we're going to talk about, is your child having trouble finding a Catholic spouse? This seems to be a problem in a particular part of India that even has the church there concerned. And I know that there are many couples that are struggling, many people struggling with this, trying to find a good Catholic spouse. So we'll talk about that.
Amen. That'll be a good conversation. Well, I want to talk a little bit now about the fact that, most Americans, I shouldn't say most, let's say it's split 50-50 about where people's opinions are on abortion. And so Planned Parenthood wants to tilt the scales in its favor. And they do things like influence film or television shows about abortion. And in fact, the Washington Post had run a feature about Karen Sprout. She's Planned Parenthood's Director of Arts and Entertainment Engagement. So they actually have an employee whose job it is to engage with arts and entertainment. She's supposed to go and turn scripts into abortion propaganda. And so she monitors everything on television and film in terms of how Planned Parenthood facilities look on screen, to how providers speak, in media. She also consulted on a 2014 comedy called Obvious Child about a woman who gets an abortion after a one-night stand. And what they wanted to do is make it look like this was a good choice. And so more recently people watched something on Hulu TV called Shrill. They had the woman appear on the show, this woman named Lindy West. She's the one that created the Shout Your Abortion hashtag. And they have her appear on the show called Shrill, where she becomes bold and empowered after choosing to have an abortion. All that was Planned Parenthood propaganda put in TV and film for us to consume to influence the American public towards supporting abortion. These things are not accidental, and these are right here, out here for us. I'm sure you've probably seen some other, abortion-friendly media, if you're watching TV or movie, or, where people don't seem so negative about it, but rather seem like it's an empowering thing.
Yeah. But it's just one more thing to add to the litany of disgust and horror that is popular entertainment today. And, you want to go to a decent movie, and they have to throw in bad language, and they have to throw in sex scenes. And now we're going to be treated to, it looks like even more of the, presenting values and things that are, obviously, horrific to as you say, at least half, I think a little more than half of the American people, that somehow abortion is somehow a heroic decision and all these things. And so it just you know, shows you who's in charge in Hollywood. And we have to always remember that this is, you know, I have to say, I like anybody, I enjoy good movies, but mm-hmm. I've over the years, I've seen a lot less of them just because I just feel like I'm being played.
Yeah, and this is one of the reasons why I don't watch TV.
Yeah.
Seriously, I mean, I don't want to keep being exposed to this garbage. Yeah. You know, and you know what? You got a good point, Glory, because, you know, on the plane, that's where I watch most of my stuff, on the plane. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's that time where you watch the movie and you don't have time to watch another movie because you're going to land soon. So I'll look on the series and watch something, you know, 45-minute little show or something. And you're right. I noticed that the other day that there was this, you know, there's this like, you know, a pushing, you know, the same sex stuff and the abortion stuff. I'm like, wow, you know, I'm mm-hmm. so glad that I don't, you know, because that has a way of working into your conscience subliminally. You know, you start mm-hmm. to think, oh, it's okay. Oh, it's not bad. And I think that's one of the things that television and the secular media use to weaponize things like Planned Parenthood's agenda and the same-sex agenda.
Yeah.
You know, when my husband and I travel, if we have the TV on in the hotel, and sometimes we sit and we talk about it, analyze what it is that we saw. And we said, did you see how they did such and so and so and so? And actually, for us, it gives us a chance. We tend to try to do reparation whenever we hear something blasphemous or something nutsy on television. We use that as an opportunity to make reparation. And actually, just the other day, we were driving by a business, and on the side of the business, our daughter pointed out. She says, "Look, it says the father, and has a picture of this actor, and then it says the son has a picture of an actor, and then it says the other son, and then the daughter, and then the Holy Spirit." It's apparently some kind of, to me, it seemed blasphemous, that it's some new television show on HBO about some family that's a bunch of Christians. But my daughter was like, they're making fun of the Trinity. And she's 8, and she could pick up on that.
Wow.
You know, and, but this is passing for, you know, for entertainment on HBO, but she could pick up on that just from the little ad, this big painting on the side of the building of the characters of the show. And this glitched out airplane was the Holy Spirit. She's like, that's not right. So imagine now that Planned Parenthood has somebody, Karen Sprouch, who her job is to encourage screenwriters to tell stories about abortion, but to do so in a way that makes it seem like it's a good choice, an empowering choice. And so, you know, if you're, I mean, it just says, to me, it just means you cannot watch TV passively. If you're going to watch TV and you're going to watch film, it cannot just be a passive reception of whatever the message is. It has to be, you have to be actively engaged in analyzing and critiquing what you are watching. Because a lot of times what they show doesn't show at the actual true consequence. It makes it seem as if these things aren't that big of a deal. And I think that that's something that, you know, you just cannot watch these things passively.
Yeah. And the other thing I will say, one thing to maybe add to this is, at least I think to some degree, there's no one entertainment platform that dominates entirely now like it used to when we had like 3 channels and everybody saw the same TV shows and, you know, pretty much listened to the same music. People have kind of siloed their lives, and it depends. So I think the influence of some of these things can be a little more limited today. But mm-hmm. I think that we as Christians and Catholics have to keep offering good alternatives, good movies, good things like, and good other things like EWTN TV and radio, where it's good,
yeah.
Good news sources and so on. The more we can do that, I think we have to encourage Catholics to kind of tune out from popular culture, which is so dominated by.
I think it's important. Well, I was going to say, I would say it's important for Catholics to get involved in things like screenwriting and writing books. And I mean, because it's not like we aren't talented people, but it'd be nice to have our voices tell stories, right? So let's think of Unplanned, you know, how that's affecting the conversation about abortion, that movie that had come out that showed, you know, what abortion really is and does, and that you can turn away from it. So that is the question. How can pro-lifers get involved? How can Catholics, you know, let's make it broad. How can Catholics get involved in influencing the entertainment industry? I think those of us that have the skills to write or to direct, to tell good stories, start telling them. And you know what? We have other outlets besides big screen. I think of YouTube. I think of Instagram. I think of all these other media, you know, platforms that are available to us that we can't get out there and start putting out alternate stories. I remember when the big shocking news of David DeLeiden, you know, revealing his tapes about what Planned Parenthood was really doing with baby body parts. There were these group of women that made fun of, I think it was Dr. Nicola, how she was eating a salad and talking about something that was so grotesque. Well, they made a short video that was funny about how grotesque what she was doing was. And it was another way to get people to think twice about abortion and to think twice about what Planned Parenthood really is. So if we get involved, at least that would be my suggestion. I'm sure our listeners have lots of other suggestions, and they could also tweet us at EWTN Radio with a comment. And how can we get engaged to get the pro-life message out across various media platforms? How can we fight back against this indoctrination?
Well, you're right. And one of the things we have to do is support movies like Unplanned. And what's that other one, the kid that drowned and was...
Oh, yeah, Breakthrough.
Yeah, that was really good. I mean, see, we have to go in droves to support movies like that. Because you know what Hollywood listens to? It listens to the dollar. So when we support these movies, then we'll make more of them. You know, and when you watch less TV, when you watch less of these shows, the advertisers can't, you know, won't get their a lot of people won't see the advertising, and the advertisers will pull back, and maybe they'll pull some of these series off. So we have to think, like a consumer. You know, hey, if you don't like something, don't support it financially. Don't watch it. And if you want something to continue, let's jump in there.
And they can write into people. They can write into these networks and say, I'm no longer watching your show because blah, 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 blah. You know, let the networks know that it's, problematic, whatever your problem is with the show.
Indeed, Netflix got my red slip, and also Hulu and some of these others. They all got.
I don't even know how people watch Hulu. Like, I couldn't. I don't know. Like, to me, it just seemed too complicated to even connect to. So
right.
Am I telling my that I'm not able to watch the thing? But I'm glad you sent something. Did they ever respond to you, Monsignor, in any way?
No.
No, they probably get too inundated with too many people canceling because Netflix experienced a. They did. They had a dip in the number of paid subscribers. Right. So, I think, they were getting overwhelmed with some of their Sabrina and all those bad things they had on their channel, on their platform.
Yeah, and I was going to endorse what Monsignor said. You know, EWTN Television has showing movies now, and also Formed, which is like a Catholic Netflix. You know, you get access to wonderful movies and also other great content on the Catholic faith, family friendly. So we do have options as Catholics when it comes to entertainment.
Well, I was going to say this. Planned Parenthood isn't stopping just at Hollywood. They're now moving over to musical artists. And so they had like 100 musical artists recently joined Planned Parenthood for its Bands Off My Body initiative. We had groups from Lady Gaga, Lizzo, to 17-year-old Billie Eilish. So now we got to be about our Father's business. What else is coming up next to Morning Glory?
Is your child having trouble finding a Catholic spouse?
Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast. It's quarter till. We're on Twitter at EWTN Radio. Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast.
You're listening to Morning Glory. We are Catholic from coast to coast. I'm Gloria Purvis, and I'm joined by Monsignor Charles Pope. He's the pastor of Holy Comforter St. Cyprian Church in Washington, D.C., and he's our godly counsel. And also my co-host and very good friend, the dynamic deacon, Harold Burke Sivers. And this is a conversation I think that's so important, you know, people struggling to find a Catholic spouse. And I will say congratulations to Damon Owens, that his eldest daughter got married recently. So she found a Catholic spouse. So there is hope for people out there. But what is going on with being able to find spouses, Catholic spouses, good spouses?
You know, what got my attention, there was a story out of India. And they're saying that over 100,000 Christian grooms over the age of 30 under the Syro-Malabar Church, which is one of the Eastern rites that are under the Catholic Church, are unable to find life partners. And this was a letter that was read in church during Sunday Mass. It was issued by the Syro-Malabar Church. And they talk about this being an issue, and they call it a precarious to the existence of our Christian community. The pastoral letter also issued from the bishops there also raised issues like low birth rate, unemployment, agricultural, and floods and things like that. But one of the things they emphasized was 100,000 men unable to find spouses. You know, and they also talk about maybe this is a cause of some of the increased youth leaving the country for better lifestyles, employment opportunities, and, you know, and causing a state of high employment. I mean, all kinds of things going on here. But again, what caught my attention, because Kerala is very Catholic. It is the second largest Catholic community in the country of India. You know, so this was, and I know many young adults, I got three or four people right off the top of my head, good, solid, Catholic young men and women going in late 20s, early 30s that are having trouble finding spouses, you know? Yeah. I've been married 25 years, so I have no idea how to find a spouse now. These days, I met my wife at a wedding. But you would think, okay, all I got to do is go to church or go to adoration or go to the young adult group and I'll find a spouse there. But yet people are having trouble finding spouses. I know there's these dating services now, but, you know, I guess my law enforcement background is a little leery about that kind of stuff. But but I'd love to hear from our listeners about if their children or maybe you are listening and you're having trouble. You're single. You're having trouble finding a Catholic spouse. I'd love to hear from you.
You know, I have to say, as a pastor, I get a lot of this too. I sit in my parlor with many a very attractive young woman, and I'm amazed at what's going on with these Catholic guys, man. Come on, ask these girls out. But there's a lot of things I know that factor in here we certainly have the problem of there's a kind of a fear of commitment, you know, among so many young people today. And also, college debt plays a role in the fact that they string you along in these college PhD pro all the way to you're almost 30. And it's just one of those things where I think that there's a lot of factors, economic as well as sociological. So I think that we have a lot to talk about. And I'm glad the bishops in India are doing that. Maybe our own bishops, you know, instead, you know, this is a key issue. And, you know, to get our bishops to talk about some things that are really hitting home would be a good thing. But to have a national discussion.
You know, I wondered, one of the things is because my husband and I, like, will there be any men mature enough to marry our daughter when she's of a marriageable age? We're like, is there anybody that's going to want to take on the responsibility? Because it's love and responsibility of being a husband and a father in a culture that seems to have a self-centeredness and a leisure. You know what I mean? So our concern is, are there places where young men are being reared in a way that they embrace the responsibilities of manhood and stop with this perpetual adolescence? You know what I mean? So that's kind of, I may have to get from another culture where they, you know, men are raised, boys are raised to be men. You know, that's a big concern for us.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think then to add to all this, I think, you know, back in the old days, I think adults were better at actively getting young people to meet. We've become very passive about that in the last 40 or 50 years. But, you know, but even back when I was a kid, you know, there were CYO dances, there were chances that, you know, there were opportunities. Parents took a much more active role in their child's dating life, so to speak, and were much closer with that. And we sort of consigned them to be on their own now and go out in the market and meet somebody, and we just hope they're Catholic or gosh knows who they bring home. And all of a sudden, somebody shows up the door who's not even close to what we're looking for. But this is somewhere along the line we have let them down a little bit as older, you know, parents and grandparents.
No, that's a good point, because I think as the, you know, the quote unquote biological clock continues to tick for some of these folks, you know, I think they're willing to compromise a little of their values to get at least somebody that they can have start to build a life with. You know, I hope that doesn't happen. I mean, that's why I think some of the women that I know are in their 30s. I mean, these are women like, I wish my son were older. He could, you know, he could get together with somebody. I mean, they're phenomenal. And, and they're just having trouble finding that, you know, that one, that the person that helped them get to heaven. I think that's sad.
Well, and then that's such a good point, right? About, you know, women being in their 30s and maybe some women saying, you know, I'm just going to lower my standards to go with this guy. That's not a win for anybody.
Right.
I mean, who wants to be found out, you know, you find out later that I didn't really want you, but time was ticking, so I settled. I mean, that's how, you know, that's a sad commentary, but I know the pressures, right? Sometimes the pressures are there. Will be interesting for our listeners to let us know what they think. They can email us, Morning Glory. And we have quite a few emails here.
Yeah.
Who wants to start with
Let's plug MG on EWTN Live. The Morning Glory team. that's not the person's name. I just want to remind you that we're going to be on EWTN Live with Father Mitch Pacwa on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock Eastern on EWTN. The three of us will be there, and we'll have a good talk with him. But anyway, spouse Tricia texts us, my husband and I knew each other during college, but reconnected on Catholic Match. Best decision I've ever made. So Catholic Match kind of worked for her, right? And
Some of that stuff's worked. And regarding Satan Steve listening to Morning Glory on the internet, emailed, God allows evil so that good may come from it. As God is perfect and all-knowing, we often do not understand the why behind events which occur.
That's a mystery of his providence, right?
Yeah. And regarding music and movies, Jacqueline emailed, my girls and I love watching certain things together. We will binge watch from Netflix, and we were so very disappointed when they add gay characters to the shows. There's no need to, but they just want to make it popular by going with the trend of the time. Sad.
Yeah. It's kind of pushing it in your face, you know. And you know, well, Kathy at Station of the Cross, she says parents should watch out what they choose when they choose picture books for their children to read. It's amazing how many things contrary to our faith are put into books intentionally. It's important to do your due diligence and preview and pre-read what you're allowing your children to see. So even books.
Mary, listening on Divine Mercy Radio, North Carolina, emailed, abortion and same-sex relationships are not the only things that have seeped into the media and become normalized. Unfortunately, it has been going on for years. Christians need to be speaking out on all these issues. See, and that's why you listen to Morning Glory, because that's exactly what we're doing.
Right. I mean, think of the occult, how the occult has gone through and this, you know, really they're supposed to be safe and fun to play and do all these things, and we know they're not good. So, yeah, she's right. Well, we have a lot to talk about tomorrow on Morning Glory. We tell the story of a post office employee that found two missing children in 2 weeks during her mail route.
And we'll also talk about what childcare options do working parents have for their children after the tragic story of a woman who broke the legs of children in a daycare center. So we'll talk about that.
Oh, my goodness. And we'll also talk about obedience to the Lord.
Yes, indeed. Well, as the show ends, let's make sure that we go out with prayer. And today, Lord, in the gospel, you teach us of a man that you called a fool because he wasn't rich in what would matter to you, and which is being generous with his many possessions. And so keep us generous, Lord, with our time, our talent, and our treasure, and help us in every way to rejoice in your saving glory. May Almighty God bless all who listen, Father, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
This is Morning Glory. It's Catholic from coast to coast.